female-focused, sales-oriented, faith-based, inspirational, uplifting, thoughtful. Be organized, be purposeful, be successful, be joyful. Welcome to Fill Your Tank, where our goal is to help you achieve success and satisfaction, both in your career and your personal life. Hosted by Wanda McKnight Brock, her tank is filled with 30 years of sales experience in the medical and pharmaceutical industry. Her career includes a plethora of sales achievements. She wants to share her successes as well as her failures. Fill Your Tank is here to assist you to get the most out of your sales career while pursuing God's purpose for your life. Life and jobs present challenges, so let's talk about how to overcome them and how to maximize your joy.
This is Wanda McKnight Brock. I am so excited to have you join my podcast, Fill Your Tank. While you're filling your gas tank for the week, take a few minutes to join me and fill your own personal tank as well. I myself, the imperfect but still successful sales representative. If you can relate to the daily struggles of trying to keep it all together and searching for that perfect balance between family, faith, and career, then Fill Your Tank is the perfect place for you. This week, let's talk about the big debrief, unpacking the sales call and unpacking your life. I believe one of the best practices I had as a sales representative was my consistent debriefing after every sales call. It's just a great way of reviewing what to continue and what to eliminate from your future sales conversations. Obviously, you're always going to record your follow-up items and the due dates, but I'm talking about more of a self-critiquing habit. It's best to do it immediately following the customer call. It is amazing how just a few hours or a couple of phone calls can make the previous customer interaction completely foggy. I developed 6 simple questions to use during my debriefing exercise. Often I would do this as I was walking back to the car. Question number 1, what went well? Think back over the sales call and identify techniques that worked well. It could be specific to a particular customer, such as the customer loved that I sent a reminder of the appointment that morning because she had completely forgotten about the meeting. That would be specific to her. Or it could be a general improvement to use for all of my sales visits. Often it would be just me discovering a better way to present things. It could be a catchy phrase or the way I explained something that was easier for the customer to follow. Possibly the way I asked a question might lead them to revealing additional key pieces of information. And it was simply by asking it differently, or sometimes the wording I used. Maybe you demonstrated a product and you made one slight change that worked really well and made the whole presentation run smoother. It could simply be the order in which the information is presented. Maybe you changed things up a bit and realized it flowed much better. There are things in every call that go well. Think about it. Make a note of it, and then you can repeat them on future sales calls. When you continue to stack up these small positive improvements after every sales visit, over time, you're just naturally going to get better. Question number 2. What did not go as expected or could have been improved upon? Could I have prevented any of those issues or handled them better? An example might be that the meeting suddenly ended early. Due to an emergency, the customer was pulled away after only 10 minutes. Of course, you're going to say you completely understand, but because you were 5 minutes late, there was a little small talk on the front end, you didn't even get a chance to review the main topic before the meeting ended. While you couldn't have prevented it, you may have been able to handle it better. Obviously, you could have been 5 minutes early instead of 5 minutes late, but the other thing you could have done was maybe to have rescheduled a new meeting before leaving. the customer might be more likely to reschedule at the time of the unexpected interruption rather than when you wait until next week and he's kind of forgotten about it. A different example might be that during the sales promotion, there was confusion due to the language or a company acronym that you used. If the customer misinterpreted what you stated, then you're going to want to think about that and possibly change the language for your future presentations to avoid that same mistake. Maybe you used an irrelevant example in your sales presentation. Let's say you present a scenario to show how your product is going to be more efficient and save them money. However, the customer states that this benefit is not relevant because they have never experienced that situation or doesn't see that type of patient, doesn't do that type of procedure. You get the idea. It doesn't fit their clientele. Whatever the case, using the wrong example totally derailed your presentation because the customer did not see how your product could provide any value. So in the future, you're going to decide, I'm going to adjust my presentation and I'm going to ask some questions on the front end about their business or their process before I start charging ahead with examples. I'm going to pick one that they can actually relate to. Question number 3, I've been better prepared. Was I missing information or unable to answer any questions? Obviously, good preparation is key to a dynamic presentation. After presenting the product to several customers, you're going to come up with a handful of frequently asked questions. But before you begin your sales calls, you might want to take a few minutes to anticipate what questions they will ask so that you can be prepared. Question number 4. Did I forget to ask any key questions? And did I obtain all the information I was seeking? One idea is to highlight or bold the questions that you want to find out from this particular customer. That way, you can review that list quickly before you exit the call. And if you've forgotten something, obviously you can bring it up. Find ways to incorporate the questions into your conversation. That way, you're not playing 20 questions at the end of the call. Question number 5. What new information or new obstacles to the sale were revealed to me during this sales call? Maybe the primary decision maker is going on maternity leave, and the person stepping into that role, maybe you just met them today. Every sales call will probably provide you with a few bits and pieces of new information. So obviously, you're going to make a note of those. Question number 6. It's actually more of an action here. Go back over the conversation in your mind. What did the customer say? Or what did they not say but imply? Showed real interest in your product. Did they say why? What statements were used by the customer in regards to your product? Reliving the sales call in your mind, that can assist you with an honest critique. So let's go through a couple just for fun. The first critique, let's say you're in the middle of a sales appointment in the client's office. About 20 minutes into the appointment, the customer starts to constantly look at the clock. I've actually had customers who stand up behind their desk towards the end of a meeting, but it wasn't actually over yet. Both are signals that they want you to hurry up and close up shop. So when you're debriefing this sales call, you think, what could I have done to control the situation? Could I have removed the distraction? Could I have handled it better? Maybe you could have said, I want to be respectful of your time. I'm still targeting to run through our allotted time, so that gives us about 10 more minutes. Are you okay with that? That lets the client know what to expect, and that you're aware of the time frame that's remaining, and it often works well to refocus their attention back to you. Your second critiquing situation, let's say you're a real estate agent and your client is interested in purchasing a home in Tennessee. They're moving here from Los Angeles. They state that they want a smaller home on a nice large lot in a quiet neighborhood. So you begin your search, but you soon discover that your definitions of smaller house, larger lot, and quiet have a different meaning in Tennessee than it does for a couple from LA. You misunderstood what the client described. So after the debriefing, you decide in the future that you will define these terms better when working with clients from a different area of the country. You see, debriefing the sales call is like standing back and looking at the overall picture. It's like seeing a movie for the second time. You notice things that you overlooked the first time. Calling out things you did well or need to adjust just makes you a better salesperson, especially debrief when you lose a big sale. In fact, take it a few steps further to understand where things fell apart. Can you identify the moment that things started to go south? Was there anything that you should have done differently? Did you give up too soon? Did you misunderstand what was important to the client? Did you fail to identify the correct decision maker? Or were you too slow to respond with requested information? Debriefing is just a simple, quick, effective practice to improve your performance. Now that we've debriefed the sales call, let's look at debriefing your life as well. I need some audience participation. I need each one of you to make a list of your top five priorities in life. Put them in order of priority, with the most important first. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to get that list together. I know it won't take you long. You can almost guess what your list looks like. Most people put similar things on their list when we're keeping it to the top five most important things. Not sure of the order, but I bet that you've got family, faith, career, and health or self-care listed in there somewhere. So let's move on to step two. Beside each one of those priorities, jot down the average amount of time you spend on each one per week. That's going to be interesting. Step three, analyze the comparison of time spent versus importance of the item, and then determine if anything needs to change. I realize family and career, that takes a lot of time. But if there is something on your top five list that is getting neglected every week, then you're going to want to address that. Because just saying it's on your top five does not make it true if no time is ever spent on it. Step four, analyze how much time is spent on things that are not on the priority list. Things like house maintenance, yard work, hobbies, social media, TV, entertainment things. This may reveal some of the thieves in your life that are stealing your precious time away. There are lots of distractions to steal our time away from our priorities. Some of those, we have to do them. They just have to be done. Others, they could be adjusted to match our goals and our priority list. Step five, changing priorities for a period of time is something that everyone has to do from time to time. Every summer, I tried to adjust some things so I could spend more time with my boys. You may be in that position now as well. Or possibly your child is a senior and you want to participate in additional school activities prior to graduation. Events may cause our priorities to change. Possibly a new baby, a new house, a new job. Your elderly parent's health is declining. In these situations, it may be wise to find some extra time by taking some Fridays off or hiring a house cleaner, a laundry service, a lawn service, a grocery delivery service, whatever you can think of to free up some additional time. There are periods when our jobs may rise or fall a bit on the priority list. Depending on how life is shaking out, certain items will always remain at the top of the list, though. All of these exercises make you more conscious of how you are spending your time versus your priority list. To debrief after every sales call, and more importantly, I encourage you to debrief your life a couple of times a year just to make sure that everything is on target or if anything needs to change. Let's close this episode out in prayer, ladies. Dear God, We are in awe of you and your work in our life. Thank you for a multitude of blessings. Guide us as we are analyzing all of these priorities. We are busy and bombarded by distractions, so let us be conscious of how we're spending our time. And let us see when changes need to occur so that we can weed out some of these less important tasks. We're often taking on so many roles. Provide us wisdom and time management skills to be the good and patient parent or a faithful and loving spouse, a good daughter, a supportive sibling. Help us to be a motivated, productive employee or the understanding friend. We want to use these skills that you have given us to live life in a way that pleases you. Having you in our life does matter, so give us a commitment to carve out time every day just for you. Amen. Thank you, ladies, for your time today. I am always honored that you chose to join me. You will find a list of the 6 debriefing questions in the show notes. Be sure to join me for next week's episode of Fill Your Tank. You don't want to miss it. Fill Your Tank is going to be your new best friend.